Good morning, General Schmidt. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Fair to partly cloudy, but it is early yet. Anything could happen. So,
Very good.
How's everything up in the Capitol today?
It's all right, thank you. Started out a bit foggy, but it's lifting.
That's good. We had that dense fog advisory until 9 o'clock this morning, so... Remember, drive with your high beams low. That's the best advice we can
give. There you go.
You got a whole lot going on. I'm looking at your news releases, and you're looking for better disclosure and clarity from GoFundMe. What brought that about?
Well, we've been looking at GoFundMe for quite some time. There have been both news reports nationally and some complaints suggesting that sometimes people give money to a GoFundMe cause, and for whatever reason, the money couldn't get delivered to that cause. The allegation was that GoFundMe was re-diverting those donations to a different cause. And, of course, that's inconsistent with the whole notion of charitable giving, where you're voluntarily supporting a cause of your choice, not of a website's choice. So we started this inquiry to figure out exactly what their practices are, and based on what we discover, we'll proceed accordingly.
Now, you're part of a coalition, bipartisan yet, of 28 state and territory attorneys general sending a letter to GoFundMe outlining specific steps you'd like to see them take. What would those steps be?
Yeah, I mean, they're fairly down in the weeds, but essentially the idea is we want better disclosure to donors on exactly how their money is going to be handled. We want to make sure that there's an option for donors to control where money goes if, for whatever reason, their first choice is not permissible. And, of course, we want better disclosure on what share the platform takes, how much money they take out of any given donation in order to pay for their operations. And so, it's a good cause. I mean, GoFundMe has been a very popular tool, and platforms like it have been very popular tools. But at the same time, whenever these new giving tools grow, there often are issues about compliance with just basic charitable giving laws that everybody has a right to expect they're going to be complying with.
Exactly. And the donator needs to exercise a little due diligence before throwing their money at a cause. Something might seem to be just common sense. This is something I really want to support, but is that what you're really supporting when you download or upload your money into that account? You're also have asked the courts to block the Biden administration from lifting the Title 42 public health policy. Do we have any progress to report on that yet today?
Well, I'm hopeful. You know, there were news reports earlier this week that the president might be reconsidering his decision to lift the Title 42 restrictions at the border. Those are the public health restrictions that have resulted in a very, very large number of migrants being held outside the United States rather than sort of coming over the border and overwhelming the limited border security capacity that the administration has had in place. Looks like those news reports were incorrect. The White House said yesterday that despite those reports, the president does intend to lift the Title 42 restrictions by May 23rd. We think that's a mistake, and that's a bipartisan judgment. There have been actually quite a significant number of Democrat U.S. senators who have now come out and opposed the administration's decision to lift the Title 42 restrictions, essentially open the border further. And so we'll see what they wind up doing. My expectation is we are going, in our lawsuit, we're going to ask for some injunctive relief here very quickly, ask the court to step in and block the administration from lifting those restrictions. And big picture here, this is all sort of down in the weeds and technical and Title 42 and jargon and all that. Big picture, what's going on here is that when the COVID pandemic began, the federal administration exercised its authority under this public health law to really restrict the number of people entering the country for public health reasons. Since then, while that restriction has remained in place under presidents of both political parties, the current administration has quietly dismantled beneath that our ordinary border security measures. They've really retreated from border security. So now Title 42, the public health measure, really is the finger in the dam that's holding back an even larger wave of migration that would really overwhelm our border security capacity. So that's why it's become such a front and center piece in the discussion even though it's a public health measure, not a migration control measure.
Right. And you filed this amended complaint and request for an injunction in the U.S. District Court of the Western District of Louisiana. You said that you're hoping for a quick resolution on this. Are you getting any smoke signals from the court that they're going to act on this soon?
Yeah, so far, it's been fairly ordinary in terms of how the court's handled things. But as I say, I expect we're going to be filing for some preliminary injunctive relief here very shortly, and I think that will really tend to get the accelerator on the case.
And folks need to know, this is not just Republicans requesting this injunctive relief. Some of the administration's most loyal supporters have come out in opposition to ending Title 42. So there's that. And what else you got going on up at your office you'd like folks to know about?
Well, there's always a whole lot going on. We have the usual range of criminal cases that are ongoing and pending. We continue to be very much involved in the redistricting litigation. It's not something we chose to be in the middle of, but it's the nature of the job. So we're both defending the new boundaries of the congressional districts that have been enacted. Not really a lot of local effect in Montgomery County and the southeast Kansas area. Not a lot of changes in the lines there, but a lot of dispute over the new lines up around Lawrence and Kansas City, Kansas, mm-hmm. and a couple of other areas. And then here very soon, I expect late today or tomorrow, we'll be involved in trying to get court approval for the new State House and Senate legislative district maps. So we have a constitutional requirement to do that.
Every 10 years.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
That's right. And we at the Attorney General's office have a specific requirement in the state constitution to go ask a court to approve those maps. So that's what we're going to do. That does have some changes down our way. Because of the population shifts and loss of population in our area, there are changes that have been enacted to the Senate map, State Senate, and the State House of Representatives map. So we'll try to get approval on that as quickly as the courts will allow so folks know what their districts look like. Candidates can decide if they want to run or not, and citizens will know what their choices are.
Well, I don't know if this will help or hurt, but the district down here just did grow by two people and two cats. My wife and I moved up here from South Carolina about a week and a half ago. So,
well, welcome to Kansas. That's a good thing.
Loving it. We're talking to Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this up?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to visit today. Welcome aboard, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.
All right, sir. We'll look forward to that as well. Kansas Attorney General Derek Schmidt here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.